Good morning. I'm a whole lot more comfortable with this than I am that, so that's what we're going to do. You know, just a few short years ago, when I was in second grade, my favorite part of the day was reading group. We would, six or eight of us, I don't know, would get into a circle with the teacher, and we'd take turns going around and reading from our textbook, The Dog Next Door. I loved that book. That was my favorite. And I didn't mind that too much, which is kind of surprising because I was a very shy, very introverted kid. I know a lot of you may have trouble believing that, but I didn't like any kind of attention drawn to me whatsoever. And so, but I guess I was comfortable with reading. I didn't mind that part. The problem was, at the end of the reading time, we would always have to do some sort of a activity or a discussion about what we had just read. That I didn't like because I didn't know what was coming. And this one particular day, I will never forget, we had to do a pantomime. I was horrified. And the different suggestions were listed in the book, and she was going around and assigning the pantomimes to each of the kids, and my eyes went right down the list, right to the worst one, and I thought, I know I'm going to get that one. I know I'm going to get that one. And I got that one. She wanted me to pantomime in front of the whole world, having peanut butter stuck to the roof of my mouth. I was just on the verge of a panic attack when a miracle occurred and the bell rang. I thought, there is a God. And as I was running out of there, I heard her voice say, "Now don't worry, those of you that didn't get a chance to do it today, you will do it tomorrow." That's just how it sounded like to me. It was not a promise, it was a threat. Somehow I got through the rest of the day, hopped on the bus, went home, walked straight to my room, fell down onto my knees, clasped my hands, looked up to the heavens, and said, "Dear God, make me sick." That night, I woke up sicker than I had ever been in my life. I am not kidding you. Not only did I miss the next day, I missed several days after that. I will not go into details, but as I lay on the bed with the room spinning in circles, I remember thinking, "Wow, you really are out there." It was the first time that I had really come face to face with the power of God. It was also the first time I realized the truth of, be careful what you pray for because you just might get it. A little bit later, not too much longer, last May, I found myself standing in the same spot that I'm standing right now, speaking to a group of the most beautiful ladies I've ever known in my life, inside and out. And I loved every minute of it. I didn't even pray the night before that I would get sick. And I got to wondering, what happened? What happened to that 7-year-old kid who was terrified of having anybody ask her to do anything in front of a group to bring her to this point? And I got to thinking, and I realized there were several points in my life that I really felt God clearly directing me where he wanted to go. And I wanted to share those with you today because those times happened when I was part of this congregation. And I really believe that they happened when they did and how they did, in large part because of you and your ministry to me. Just some background first. Since I was in my late teens, I had started developing some symptoms of chronic fatigue. And as the years progressed, so did those symptoms. I spent a lot of time praying about it, asking God to get rid of it. It just got worse and worse. I went to doctors. I tried medications, tried lifestyle changes in my diet, exercise, and nothing seemed to work. And then in the middle of all that, about maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I started having some symptoms of depression. And I thought, no thank you, don't want it. So I shut it out of my mind, and I wouldn't even acknowledge it. For about a year, I was in complete denial that anything was wrong, even though it was pretty obvious. I finally sought help for that, and that alleviated those symptoms quite a bit. But I still couldn't talk about it. I couldn't let people know that. There was a sense of, almost a sense of shame, a sense of fear. What are people going to think about me if they know that I struggle with this? A sense of, God, what did I do wrong? Where have I screwed up in my life that this cloud of depression is over me? And so I was looking for answers. Why is this going on? And I would pray about it and speak to people and listen to teachings. And the main thing that I was getting was that when we go through these desert times in our life, God uses those. He uses them to strengthen us, to mature us, to refine us like gold. That's a phrase that I had heard oftentimes, and I do believe that. But at the time, when I was in the middle of it, my whole attitude was, no, thank you. God, I'd rather you take all this away from me and just be a mediocre Christian. I'd rather not be strong. I'd rather not be mature. I just want to feel better. I don't need to be gold. I'm perfectly happy being aluminum foil, okay? And he answered that, not in the way I expected him to, which is not surprising, but he did give me a very clear answer to that, not too much after I went and prayed that prayer. And in the space of 1 week, he very clearly spoke to me three times through three different media, the same message, and that's how I'm sure that it was his voice. It was something I heard on the radio, something I read in a sermon that Jay Kahn had preached, and the message was the same every time. It's that sometimes when we go through these desert times in our lives, it is not merely for our own benefit. Sometimes God is preparing us to help someone else who is struggling through the same kinds of things. That may sound pretty simplistic, it may sound rather obvious, but to me, at that point in my life, that never occurred to me. Never occurred to me. The first time I heard that message, I thought, that sounds good. I understand that. The second time I heard it, it became a truth. I could see the truth in that. The third time I heard it, through Jay's sermon, it became a promise. It was a promise from God that, Linda, you are not going through this in vain. There is a purpose for it, and I will be with you and direct you through it. It completely changed my attitude around. It was suddenly not all about me. And that was such a release in my life. I started to understand what it meant, what Paul meant when he said, I rejoice in my sufferings. I don't know if I really got to that point, but I started to understand a little more what he meant by that. The second time that I felt God was really directing my path was at a Women of Faith conference. For those of you that have been there, you will not be surprised that God spoke to me at a Women of Faith conference. They're phenomenal. I had never been to one before. This was my first one. And first of all, it was very attractive to me because the name of the conference, the theme for it was Contagious Joy. Who doesn't want to go to a conference that's called Contagious Joy? I knew it was going to be so much fun. But I had these preconceived notions. I assumed that I was going to go there and sit at the feet of these wonderful spiritual women whose lives were so together that they had this powerful ministry, and they would just rain all their wisdom upon me. And I would be so blessed, and my life would be changed through that. And it took about 30 minutes of sitting in the conference for that to go right out the window. It became very clear early on that these are not women that have it all together all the time. They are women just like me and just like you. They have struggles. They've messed up. They've dropped the ball. They have cried out to God and said, "Why me?" time and time again. And God has used those stories in their lives to minister to other people. And there it was, right in front of me, what God had been telling me earlier was manifested right in front of me through these wonderful ladies in their stories. The second day of the conference, a woman by the name of Sheila Walsh got up to speak. For those of you that may not know Sheila, she has been involved in Christian ministry for decades. She's been part of she's a pioneer in the Christian music industry. She was a host on the PTL Club. She has written numerous books. She's a fabulous speaker. She's one of those people that I knew had it all together. And she got up, and she started to speak about her battle with depression. Nothing could have knocked me over more. And as she spoke, you know, her story was way more severe than mine. She was actually hospitalized. She, you know, had gone through several times with trying to figure out medications and all this. When she would try to climb out of that pit, it was like climbing up a ice-covered mountain. I mean, what she went through was enormous, and she wasn't over it. It was still something that she struggled with day in and day out. And yet when she shared her thoughts and her feelings during these times, it was like she was reading into my soul. It was exactly the kind of things that I had been struggling with. And she was on this stage telling this to 5,000 women. And I couldn't even tell it to one. I had built this little fortress inside of me and kind of stuffed the depression in there so nobody could see it. But as she was talking, I could feel the pieces just start to break off and fall. And when she was done speaking, she sang a song. And it's a song that I had heard before, but I'd never really absorbed the lyrics to it. It's a song called Hide. And some of the words to it, the song go, "You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to face this on your own. You don't have to hide. We've all been there, so don't be afraid. Come out and join the rest of us. You've been alone for far too long." And with those words, the last of my fortress crumbled to the ground. And for the first time in my life, I felt free. I felt like I can share this story. I felt released. After this time, I started to share my story, especially my struggles with depression, with people one-on-one. And I found that I was blessed so much right back by doing that. I remember the first time I shared it with a group of people, it was when we were having a women's Sunday school class. And I shared that with them, and the acceptance there was overwhelming, and it was just another affirmation that you can go through these times and share them, and it's safe. It's safe to do that. So I started to realize, you know, what it meant to use my experiences to help others. But I thought, where do I go from here? I was a little lost. I wasn't sure what the next step was. And then a couple years later, I found myself at another Women of Faith conference. And they have a time, a question and answer time. And somebody had asked the question, I feel like I'm being called to share my story. How do I do that? Where do I go from here? And I went, yeah, I want to know that too. And the question was answered by Patsy Claremont. For those of you that don't know Patsy, after this service, run, don't walk to the next nearest computer and Google her and get something up, get a clip up of her. She is hilarious. She's the most marvelous speaker I've ever heard in my life. And she is actually the coach for all the speakers at Women of Faith. And she announced then that she had been feeling led to start workshops for people, anyone, to open those up to anyone, not just professional speakers. And I thought, oh, wow, that is so cool. And I was all excited about that. And I came home and tried to find it on the computer, and apparently it was still in the building stages, so it wasn't set up yet, so I couldn't really find that information right away. But I remember talking to Chris Petoniak a little bit about that. And then talking to her about possibly doing a retreat sometime, and she was very supportive of that. So not too long after that, Lorena approached me about this retreat, and we decided to put something together, and I was really excited about that, but I had some doubts. During this whole time, I started to wonder, is this really what God's calling me to do? I think sometimes when we start going in that direction, Satan tries to stop us a little bit. I don't know. But I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing this for me, that it wasn't me in me, that it wasn't I need to get up and talk and have people hear me and see me thing, that it was something that God was telling me to do. And I prayed about this a lot, and I really struggled with it for a while. And it was right about that time that Chris Petoniak made a DVD series available to us on spiritual gifts. And my son borrowed it, and it was sitting at our house. And it was almost Sunday, and I knew we had to give that back to Chris. And I thought, you know, I should sit there and listen to this. I really didn't think I needed to, because I had been through some spiritual gifting kind of training and teaching before. And I knew that my spiritual gifting was in mercy. I had no idea what to do with that mercy. But I thought, well, maybe this will help. I thought, I'll just listen to different, you know, just bits and pieces of it. Ended up listening to the whole thing, start to finish, almost in one sitting. I was so drawn into it. And I, at the end of it, I realized something that I kind of blew me away there. And that mercy, this whole thing that I thought had been my primary spiritual gift all these years really wasn't. Mercy is still very strong in me. But I saw coming out, as I went through these DVDs, the gift of exhortation. And I was stunned. And I thought, that fits. It fits. It feels right. I think this is right. I am someone that loves to encourage people. And when I started owning that and started trying to function through that, it changed everything. When I did this retreat, I remember thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm the best speaker in the world, but this is something that I feel that I'm on the right track with. I felt a sense of affirmation. And as I looked back on it, this just occurred to me this morning, when I woke up this morning. When I'm functioning through my spiritual gift, through what God has created me to be, it gives me energy. It gives me joy. Do you get that? What have I been fighting all those years? Fatigue and depression. And this gives me energy and joy. What a wonderful counterbalance. And I couldn't get more affirmed than that. Last October, I finally got through to Patsy Clearmont and her website there. And there it was, Shaking Your Tree is what it's called. Shaking what you have in your life out to the ground and using it to minister to other people. And she has four different training type of sessions. And the one that I was drawn to was she will take a group of, I think, between 8 and 12 people into her home. It's in her home. And she will train you and teach you how to draw out your gifts. It's for people that are interested in writing and in speaking. And it's for people that have been doing this for a while or people that are just beginning this. And I remember coming out, when I read that on there, I remember coming out, and Rich was in the living room, he's on his laptop, and I said, guess what? And I started telling him all about this. And I was all ready to sign up right then and there. And he said, you know what, Linda? You can do this on your own, but wouldn't it be better to plug into the congregation, to have a support group, to have someone to be accountable for what are you going to do with this? And I thought, yeah, that's right. That's wisdom there. And so I did talk to Chris a little bit about that. And she encouraged me to write up something for the ministerial committee to present that to them. In the meantime, I went back to sign up, and those sessions were filled. It was at the end of January, beginning of February, and I thought, procrastinator, you know? I thought, when is the next opportunity going to happen? Probably another year from now. So I sent an email to them, to Dana Clearmont, who is Patsy Clearmont's daughter-in-law. She's who runs these things. And she sent me an email back 2 weeks later. She said, well, we just opened up two more at the end of January, or at the end of February, beginning of March. I only had to wait a month. And she said, and by the way, we changed it. We're making it a two-day workshop. We're going to have writing the first day. And the regular workshop the next day. And I thought, oh, thank you, God. I'm so glad that I missed that deadline, because that really fits what I'd like to do, because I would like to have some training in the writing aspect too. So I gave that little information to the ministerial committee, and they very graciously affirmed me in that, and I really appreciate that. And they said, Linda, we'd like you to present this to the congregation. We'd like the congregation to know what you're doing, where you're going with that. And so that's why I'm here today. Just a little bit about the conference. It's on March 7th and 8th. It's a Friday and Saturday. It's in Franklin, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville. And as I said, it's going to be in her home. I would fly out there, attend the writing workshop on Friday and the main workshop on Saturday. We will have lunch with her, which I think is really funny, because you know when people say, if you could have lunch with anyone in the whole world, who would you have lunch with? She would be on my list, and I'm going to do it. You know, I've shared with you a little bit from my past, and I've shared with you where I am, my present. Where I go from here, I haven't a clue. I have no idea. But I know that I'm going in the right direction, and I appreciate so much the fact that this congregation has helped me, has nurtured me, has taught me, has given me opportunities in this church that I may never have had anywhere else. And I'm so very grateful for that. Last week, Chris asked me if there was a particular scripture that I wanted to have for today. And I thought and thought and thought, and I just wasn't coming up with anything. And I felt terrible. I'm like, come on, gotta have a scripture here. But it just wasn't coming. And I think the problem was I was thinking too much. But ironically enough, I got on Facebook on Friday. And Patsy Claremont, I'm friends with Patsy Claremont on Facebook, she had posted a scripture. And I read it and I said, that's it. That is it. And so I want to close today with that. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. Amen.